From KCBW News in Salt Lake City, I'm Jeff Robinson. The alleged killing of 16 Afghan civilians by an American soldier has raised serious questions about the future of U.S. forces in Afghanistan. U.S. Army Colonel Robert Cassidy, a professor at the U.S. Naval War College, most recently served in Afghanistan as special assistant to the operational commander from 2010 to 2011. Now he's in Utah to speak to the Salt Lake Committee on Foreign Relations this evening. I asked Colonel Cassidy what his immediate reaction was when he learned about the killings.
Well, my immediate reaction when I opened it in my iPhone on Sunday was it was an awful, abominable event. And then as I continued to follow it and read the opinion pieces and editorials that have appeared all week, I came to the conclusion, you know, from an operational strategic perspective, that as odious as this act was, you know, what it portends for the Afghan campaign is not as bleak, dismal, or cataclysmic as the chatter from the punditocracy would have Americans believe. You know, I would also point out that it's not characteristic of the ethos of our military, nor is it, you know, indicative of the value and respect most coalition troops have exhibited in working with and partnering with their Afghan either military or civilian partners.
And so why do you feel that it won't be as cataclysmic as some have predicted so far?
Well, for once, I'm trying to take a candid look, neither being a Pollyanna nor a naysayer, and I noticed a lot of op-eds that really exaggerate, I think, the impact of this event. Like I said, as horrific as it is, it's isolated. And if you look at the grand scheme of things and the grand scope of things over many years and months of operating in Afghanistan with Afghans at our side, it is isolated and really unprecedented. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, I think that you know, it does not undo the strategy, and the responses inside Afghanistan at this point are much more muted than they are in the U.S. So I think the impact on perceptions in the U.S. is worse, and it's getting some strength from some of these op-eds. But I think that in the end, we will proceed with our campaign. We'll continue to part with Afghans, and we will continue to defeat the Taliban in those key areas, and then we'll continue to hand over to the Afghan security forces.
But just considering the reaction we saw when the seemingly accidental Quran burning took place, don't you think something of this magnitude would have potentially much more disastrous consequences, or can you understand why people would at least think that way?
Yeah, I can understand why they might think that way, and I would also emphasize that neither investigation is anywhere near complete, either on the Quran burnings or on the event Sunday. But the interesting thing is, after talking with some of my colleagues, still in Afghanistan, the level of reaction in terms of violent protest, demonstration, and so forth, has been much less attendant to the Sunday crime by the U.S. soldier than it was for the Quran burnings. And I would just note that perceptionally, the Quran burnings were a much more abysmal transgression of their culture and their religion, and most generally speaking, in the eyes of the Afghan people.
Let's get into your book, Colonel Cassidy. It's called War, Will, and Warlords, Counterinsurgency in Afghanistan and Pakistan from 2001 to 2011. Give us what the scope of this book is. What are you taking a look at and kind of comparing here between Pakistan and Afghanistan?
Well, the purpose is really to capture what's happened in the last 10 years, and those 10 years being from the beginning of, October of 2001 until the end of 2011, to try to analyze and explain, what were the catalysts, the genesis for the resurgence of the insurgency in Afghanistan and for the generation of an internal insurgency in Pakistan. And I compared both insurgencies, because that's one way of coming up with an analytical framework, although they're different. They are linked in the way they cooperate or collude has ebbed and flowed over time. So the reason why they're really linked logically is that they're both made up of principally Pashtuns, and the Pashtun areas, the belt, overlap the border, the unrecognized border, otherwise known as the Durand Line, that was drawn in 1893 by the British diplomat. So what you have is you have an ineluctable link in both insurgencies and in support in terms of recruits and materiel and in terms of the impact on long-term security in Pakistan and Afghanistan. So if they're not in alliance, per se, or not in a coalition, and sometimes they're at odds, there is some logic in looking at both sides because you cannot really separate the security problem in Pakistan from Afghanistan.
We've been speaking with Colonel Robert M. Cassidy. He's a military professor at U.S. Naval War College and Joint Military Operations, author of War, Will, and Warlords, and he'll be speaking in Salt Lake City Thursday to the Salt Lake Committee on Foreign Relations. Colonel Cassidy, we really appreciate your time. Thank you for speaking with us today.
Thanks, Jeff, very much. I was glad to be here.